So breaking forth your part of the medical missionary work. I really want to take my time this hour to really address those that are maybe, you know, the younger cohort. This is a youth organization. And so I really want to speak to you if you're younger, you're in high school, academy, or you're college age, or just outside of those ranges. This really is a time that I want to really have your attention as you think about your life's work. As we discussed earlier, being a medical missionary, each member, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, which I'm assuming this largely or maybe exclusively is a Seventh-day Adventist group. Maybe there are some non-Adventists here. Maybe there are some non-Christians here. This also would apply to you. Another caveat is that this is largely, probably all of you live in the United States or are from the United States. Maybe you're traveling from abroad, and that would be fine. But this is mostly in a context in the United States as well, as we discussed. So keep those things in mind as we go on. These are going to be our objectives, though. And I'm selling this seminar as a 5-in-1. You're getting 5 seminars for the price of 1, okay? So you're getting a good deal here. Every Seventh-day Adventist loves a good deal, right? Yeah. All right, the first thing we're going to do, identify the problem in our world today. You're probably thinking, well, there's more than one problem, and you're right, but we're going to kind of distill it down a little bit. Objective number 2, reveal the real goal of the medical missionary work. The third objective is kind of a title, indebted, our responsibility to the world. So we're going to see what is our responsibility to the world. Number 4, discover the path God has for you. This is going to be really interesting as you think about your life and all of the potential that you have should the Lord tarry his coming. And the 5th objective, focus on the great object of life. Now, how many of these objectives are of interest to you? You know, when I was putting this together, I thought, like, each one of those could be a seminar in itself. And if we answered just one of those, we'd have a successful seminar. So let's jump right in. Isaiah 58 is our theme for this GYC. And what I love about this verse 8, is that it is at the core of Isaiah 58, which is at the core of some wider chapters of Isaiah 58, which is then part of the last third of Isaiah, and then, of course, part of the bigger work of Isaiah. It really is this crux verse. And what is so amazing about this text are the action words. Then your light shall, what? Break forth like the morning. Your healing shall, what? Spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, which is like a protection behind you. This has echoes of the medical missionary work, obviously. We see that righteousness is about a right relationship, right? And it really is a contrast to what's going on in the world. Imagine living a life where your light breaks forth, or your healing that you provide in many, many different ways springs forth. And your righteousness, or the fact that you have a right relationship with the Lord, something that people see. And the glory of the Lord would be your rear guard. Can you imagine living your life like that? Sounds like a pretty blessed life to me, doesn't it to you? This is an amazing couple of sentences by the prophetess Ellen G. White. And this is going to be pretty word heavy, and we're going to be going through a lot of different quotes that I think will be really powerful as we think on these themes. And you're always welcome to come up to me afterwards, grab the slides from me. I'll be happy to email them to you so you don't have to take pictures. I'd be happy to share them. So what's the problem? Objective number 1, man lost all because he chose to listen to the deceiver rather than to him who is truth. who alone has understanding. By the mingling of evil with good, his mind has become confused, his mental and spiritual powers benumbed. No longer could he appreciate the good that God had so freely bestowed. That's found in the book Education. I skipped over this sentence. I'm sorry. Let me double back. Health is a great treasure. Amen? It is the richest possession mortals can have. That is an amazing thought. Health is the richest possession? But when you think about it, some would sell everything they have to get it, wouldn't they? Because once it's gone, it rarely comes back. So being a medical missionary, you could literally spend your life giving what? Giving treasure. How would you like that for a ministry? What do you do for work or for ministry? Oh, I give treasure. It's really no big deal. I just give treasure. I give the richest possession that mortals can have. Wow, what a high calling. Amen? That's incredible. You know, I have patients. I'm a surgeon by training, and that's what I practice in Northern California, where I live with my wife and my three beautiful kids. I have patients who come in distress, anxiety, you know, sweating. Clearly something's wrong. And they say, you know, doc, I have no idea what happened. Suddenly I just felt like this. And as I look back through their history, I can see obviously chronic things that have been happening that then led them to this particular event. But for them, it was a complete shock. They had no idea that they were going to wake up one day and have a complete loss of health and that their life was going to change forever. It is something, your health is something that rarely comes back. And so it's not only important for us to live by these health principles, but this is what people are going through. This is what the world is going through. And as a medical missionary, you can be prepared to meet them at these critical junctures. So going back to the problem in the world, objective number one, we see that the world and Satan has caused people to mingle evil with good. Have you seen this? Have you seen this on you're scrolling through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, YouTube, whatever your social media platform of choice is? I sometimes see these things and they're just amazing to me how good and evil can be commingled. In fact, it's more than that. It's that good is called evil, and evil has become called good. And this is the norm in the world, all over the world. And it has caused people to become confused. I think that's a very good word for it. As well as benumbed. Have you ever gone to sleep, you wake up, and you realize one of your limbs has gone completely numb? Isn't that the weirdest feeling in the world? And you can literally lift it up and it'll just fall down. I don't know if that's happened to anybody else, but that happens to me sometimes. You can't move it. There's no sensation. And this is how the world is out there now. They're completely confused. Even, I would say, some in the Christian world are pretty confused as to what the Bible has to say about reality, about what's going to happen, about, you know, the present situation. There is so much out there. No longer could he, the worldling, appreciate that the good that God has so freely bestowed. You know, there's a world out there hurting. They have no idea the good that God has for them. And that is a great treasure as well that you can share. This doesn't only affect the world. It can affect God's people. God's people may allow their powers to rust out for the want of use or to be perverted through evil habits, lack of self-control, or moral and religious stamina. Their course then tends downward. They are disobedient to the law of God and the laws of health. Appetite conquers them. Inclination carries them away. It is easier for them to allow the powers of evil, which are always active, to drag them backwards than to struggle against them and go forward. This is the history of many lives that might have been useful in the cause of God and humanity. Friends, I can personally attest that I've seen this in my life. In fact, I was involved with the beginning of GYC, and I'm so thankful to now be presenting up here to you and being a part of it. It really means a lot because I have a passion for young people just like you. And there have been some that drift away, you know, for whatever reason. And it can happen to, you know, God's people. You have to stay connected. Don't be perverted through evil habits, lack of self-control, or moral and religious stamina. And I think that religious stamina is what I saw with some people that I worked with early in ministry, and they've drifted away. That's sort of the end of the bad news, all right? I'm done being a Debbie Downer. This verse from Luke chapter 9, those who want to, it's very familiar to you, those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who will lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? What do you think it means to forfeit yourself? Feel free to speak up and answer that. I'm asking. Yeah, good. Good answer. Anybody else? Say that again. Your choices. Yeah. Surrender. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of a you know, two-edged thing. You can either forfeit yourself in a bad way, you can kind of sell yourself out, or you can forfeit your life, meaning that you serve God without reservation. What does it mean to lose your life for Christ's sake?
Follow his plan.
Follow his plan. Excellent. We're going to get into that. Follow his plan. Very good. All right. Every soul united to Christ will be a living missionary to all around him or her. He or she will labor for those near and afar off. So this is really the crux, right? Wherever God puts you, this is the principle of redemption as well. You know, Christ came for us. We were afar off as he was born. You know, we just celebrated the Christmas season. He was born in a manger, served his life. We were afar off from heaven, weren't we? You can be a missionary wherever you are. And I know that's cliche, but it really is. You have no idea the influence that you're having on people. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody came to you later and they said, you know, you said something, you did something, and it really made me think. And you thought, man, I was just living my life. I didn't even realize I had that effect. You can profoundly affect people for the negative, but also for the positive. And this is really what it comes down to. You have to live your life as a missionary no matter where you are. Being a missionary, yeah, is purposeful, but a lot of it is passive, isn't it? So let's look a little bit at the destination. Why are we discussing that? Where are we going with this discussion? The Lord has faithful watchmen on the walls of Zion to cry aloud and spare not. Again, this is Isaiah 58 language. To lift up their voice like a trumpet and show his people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. The Lord has permitted the enemy of truth to make a determined effort against the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. He designs by this means to awaken a decided interest in that question, which is a what? A test. That's an interesting word. A test for the last days. This will open the way for the third angel's message to be proclaimed with power. This is why it's important to share your faith. People will be tested. My thought when I read this was, what am I doing? And so what are you doing to help them pass this test? Have you ever done any tutoring? Have you ever taught somebody something? You're helping them to pass the test, right? What are you doing in your life to help them pass this test that's coming upon the world. That test has to do with the Sabbath, which really the broader picture is what? Is worship. It's about who you worship. Do you worship like this? Scroll, scroll, scroll? Or do you worship by helping others pass the test? I had an example of this. It was a small example, but it made me think in the context of this seminar. I was rounding in the hospital, and I ran into one of the physicians, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And conversation kind of went. I said, "Hey, I'm sorry, I missed that party, the Christmas party that you had." He said, "Oh, it was no big deal. It was a lot of fun." He's like, "Why weren't you there?" And I said, "Oh, it was Sabbath, and I just was home with family. Tried to kind of turn off, kind of worldly things." Or I don't remember exactly what I said. And he had the most quizzical look on his face. Like, what are you even talking about? Like, he's like, "I just have no idea what you're talking about," you know? And then I went to the University of Michigan, and there was a football game on Sabbath. And he asked me, "Well, okay, shifting gears, what did you think about the football game?" And I said something to the effect, "Well, I didn't really watch it live. I watched some highlights, later after Sabbath." And again, he was just like, "What is it with this Sabbath thing?" And I just kind of explained, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown and those kinds of things. And still, not computing whatsoever. Okay, how Muslims, they go to like prayers on Friday. Jews go to synagogue on Saturday. And a lot of Christians go to church on Sunday. And he was kind of like, "Yeah, I guess I kind of think I know what you're talking about." And I was like, "Well, we keep Sabbath and blah, blah, blah." And anyway, I kind of walked away from that conversation, and it was just a really sort of entertaining interaction, because I was like, rarely do I meet somebody that just has like no idea about some of those things. But later on, I thought, what if that test comes to this physician? And he thinks, there was this halfway decent guy who once told me about this Sabbath thing, and I don't really get it, and it helps him in some way. Or, somewhat more immediately, he has this revelation that, the guy rests on Sabbath, he kind of turns off the world. Man, that sounds great. I would love to do that. Turn off my phone or just turn off the TV, spend time with my family. Maybe I'll double back with him and just talk about, what does that mean for you, and how do you do it, and this sounds great. So you just never know the interaction that you're having with somebody and how it will help them pass this test, both maybe in the near term or maybe in the long term, when things on earth really get kind of crazy, as we know they will by the study of Daniel and the book of Revelation. So what is the goal? The remnant, and we know that as God's people, and I think as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we have a special understanding of what it means to be a remnant people. The remnant that purify their souls by obeying the truth gather strength from the trying process, exhibiting the beauty of holiness amid the surrounding apostasy. So do you think purifying your soul and obeying the truth is going to be easy? No, it's going to be a trying process from which you will gather strength. It's hard to be different from the world, especially as a young person. We want faith now, living faith. We want to have a living testimony that shall cut to the heart of the sinner. And I read this quote and I thought, is that me? As you ask yourself that here this morning, is that you? Do you have a living testimony that would cut to the heart of the sinner? I actually challenge you, and I think that you do. It's there. You've heard of elevator presentations. In the business world, it's like you find yourself on the elevator with the CEO or the owner or whatever, and they say, "Hey, how are you doing? What are your thoughts about what we should do, or whatever?" And you have 30 seconds. It's an elevator presentation. You have that testimony. God has changed your life. You are here because God changed your life in some way. And you can share that with somebody else. Be ready to share that to help them pass that test. And that living testimony, that will cut to the heart of the sinner, because God's word never returns unto him what? void. It will make an impact in that person's life. And this I'm speaking again in this context of being a medical missionary. These are basic principles that every medical missionary, you know, needs. So let's talk about our next objective. And this is getting a little bit more to your path. Again, being at a youth conference, I really want to hone in on, you know, kind of that 18 to 35, or again, that academy age, college age. This is really for you. You only have one lease on life is granted to us. Amid the inquiry with everyone should be, how can I invest my powers? My what? My powers, so that they may yield the greatest profit. How can I do most for the glory of God and the benefit of my fellow beings? For life is valuable only as it is used for the attainment of these ends. Isn't that amazing? Do you think about your life that way? I can tell you there are many phases of my life that I did not have this attitude. That life, my life is valuable only as it is used for the attainment of these ends. This is a life of service. Life's true aim is not to secure the greatest possible gain for themselves, but to honor their maker in doing their part of the world's work and lending a helpful hand to those who are weaker and more ignorant. Now, I think this process needs mentorship. I didn't really have much mentorship until I got to college, and I had a mentor for a couple of years helping me with this. It is important, whether it's your parents, friends, or family, trusted advisors, to help you keep this in focus as you go throughout your formative years. The other thing that, you know, I sort of got out of these quotes was a sense of indebtedness. Do you guys get that sense from this as well? For many years, and maybe from day to day, or maybe even now, sometimes I don't live indebted. And when you truly understand being indebted to somebody else, it really changes your motivations, doesn't it? You actually are indebted to the people around you. You know more than them, and you are indebted by God's grace what he's given you to share with others. Let's look at some verses together, and you'll kind of get a flavor of what I'm meaning. So this is, you know, really our calling. Acts 13:47. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. That's a pretty straightforward command, isn't it? Paul also writes in Romans, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he has not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. And we'll just finish up with this last one. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, and the glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I think the early apostles understood this better than anybody else, because when you think about their religious milieu, they were faithful Jews. What on earth got into them to say, hey, we went to Jerusalem, now we've got to go out and serve the Gentiles? That is completely foreign. And it's the same with us. I'll be honest with you, the first thing in my mind when I wake up in the morning is not necessarily, hey, I got to get out to those Gentiles, I'm indebted to people, etc. But really, that is the life's work, that as you start to build your education, your skill set, your desires, the things you enjoy doing, this is the mind frame that you should have. All right. Now, I really want to speak to your heart as a young person. And I thought about, all right, how do I convey the idea that within your life that you've been given is so much potential? You have so much potential for good. You have so much potential to bless the world as a medical missionary. And I thought about Genesis, the creation story. I know that sounds, you know, you'll see the leap here in a second. But Genesis 1, 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. It's really a landscape that's barren. It's a wilderness without form and void. As God called forth the earth in its beauty out of chaos, so we can bring order and beauty. He pronounced it very good. So your life is chaotic in the sense that there's not necessarily any order to it. It's in a little bit of disorder, right? But I think it's more in the sense of it's elemental. God had these things during the 7 days of creation to bring together. And your life is very much like that. You know, being at the age that I'm at, I can, not that I'm super old, but I can look back and I can just think of, you know, being that age and looking forward. Things are not set in stone for you. You really have a lot of potential to go many different ways. And the thing is that God can bring something very good out of that. Isn't that a blessing? You say amen. When you are praying, like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I just, you know, I don't know. Should I go this way or that way? God will make it very good no matter what. And I think I'm talking to an audience that probably is, you know, you're very involved in church. You may be in Seventh-day Adventist education or homeschooled. Or if you are going to public school, you're just very, et cetera. There might be somebody either listening to this or in this audience that your life really is chaotic. You have a very chaotic home. You didn't have the upbringing that many others did. You didn't have the advantages that some others did. Let me tell you, the Lord can redeem the time. Amen? So we're going to start getting into some probing questions that I really want you to ask yourself as you leave from here. In the book Christ Object Lessons, page 329, it says, it asks young people, what am I doing with that which I have? The development of all our powers, again, it goes back to that word, our powers. The development of all of our powers is the what? The first duty we owe to God and our fellow men. Wow, that's intense, isn't it? Our first duty is the development of all of our powers. Why? So we can sound smart in our bibliography for our paper? Is that the reason? No. It's what we owe to God and our fellow men. Again, that sense of indebtedness to those around us. So I have in my notes, you know, it's kind of this YOLO scenario. Do you know what YOLO is? You only live once. So I've done some career counseling. And what I tend to do during those is I say, okay, I want you to brainstorm. You're going to put down, you know, what do you have? What are the powers that you're bringing? Your desires, your education. But then I ask them, what do you have energy for? What are you passionate about? What are you excited about? What are you interested in? What are you good at? And it's kind of like a flurry of questions. But as they brainstorm all these things out, They come up with this list often of 20, 30, 40 things that they say, wow, I had no idea that was in there. And I say, pray about this list. If you're really, you know, and usually the people I'm talking to are just kind of like really struggling for a path forward. I say, pray over this list. This list is not here by coincidence. The Lord made you individually to have these interests or passions or things that you're good at, and He will use those. Again, that idea of sort of this elemental coming together, this forming, and He will do that in your life. He will lead you. Pray over it. And really seek out your mentors, seek out your counselors, those people that advise you and that you trust. So I have an interesting, you know, story as it pertains to this a little bit. I didn't really have a lot of mentorship when it came to deciding my future sort of life's work, if you will. And so it was coming down to crunch time for me. I was a junior at the University of Michigan in my third year, and I had to apply for the MCAT, which is the entrance exams for medical school. And the application deadline was coming up, and at that time, you could only take it 2 times in a year, and it was, I mean, the application fee was pretty expensive, and I didn't want to waste money, but I wasn't sweating, and I knew the Lord would lead, and at that time, I was getting a BA in religious studies, but I was also doing all the pre-med coursework. But as I got close, it's kind of like, okay, Lord, you know, I really enjoy the humanities. I really enjoy the religious studies, but I'm also kind of setting up to go to medical school. Really would be great if you just kind of, you know, told me which way to go. That'd be great. It's about time. You know, so time kept kind of going on, and I was like, all right, Lord, it's getting even closer. You know, gotta think about putting in this application. Need to hear from you. Sort of still crickets. Closer, closer, closer. I was freaking out because I really hadn't heard from the Lord. I had called all my family members, all my friends, everybody could think of, and they're like, you know, we just really, I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, we can't really tell you what, you know, what you should do. And I was like, that's fair enough. So I was praying, I was fasting, you know, and in college, I guess that's a little bit of an easier thing to do, right? Because you don't, I was lazy as a bachelor, and it's like, okay, I can go out without, you know, ramen or some pizza or whatever, because, you know, but I was getting hungry. I was getting really hungry, and I had really lost all my energy. I'd been praying, really earnestly praying, and I fell asleep. I kind of, you know, got back up, and I said, all right, you know, this is like totally crunch time. We're down to hours, or we're down to days before I need to do this. So I said, Lord, I'm going to put out some fleeces. All right, you know the story of Gideon. I said, I'm going to put out some fleeces. Fleece number one, Lord, I said, I'm going to call Andrews University. Again, I was in Ann Arbor. I was going to call Andrews, and I was going to say, hey, I'd really like to just sort of slide in here, study theology, and really prepare for pastoral ministry or, you know, a master's degree. And that was going to be fleece number one. Fleece number one was I was going to call Andrews, and they were going to say what? Come on over. This will be great. Yeah, we'd love to have you as a student. No problem. We'll make it smooth sailing. We'll get you plugged in. The second one was a little bit pretty hairy. I said, I was studying for a physics exam. And I said, Lord, give me an what on the physics exam? Yeah, give me an A on the physics exam. And if the other things don't work out, you give me an A on the physics exam, I'll know that you want me to go to medical school, okay? The last one, what would you pick for the last one? So what I said was, I said, Lord, bring someone into my life, because I talked to all my counselors. I said, bring someone into my life that I don't know, but that I will unequivocally know that they have a message from you to me telling me what to do. Okay. And, you know, hindsight, I mean, I'm smiling because I'm like, this is crazy. This was really crazy that I did all this. So I was studying for this physics exam, and it was not going well. It was really not going well, this batch. You know, and I felt like I thought, you know, normally when I study, I thought, you know, I'm picking this up. I'm no dummy, but, you know, this was not going well, and I said, okay, I'm gonna try this practice test that I have. And I think I'm kind of ready. You know, I'm as ready as I'm gonna kind of get. But I had some more days to study, so I took the practice exam, and it went terribly, terribly. And, you know, I'm kind of one of those people, I'm like, oh, good, well, the Lord is, you know, clearly leading me to pastoral ministry, and this is going to be great. But at least he's talking to me. And so anyway, this practice exam went terribly. I was practicing with a study partner, by the way, always study with the smartest person in the class, and that's what I was doing. I slammed my books closed, put everything away, and I was like, hey, man, I'll catch you later, whatever I said. And he looked at me like, are you insane? Like, are you just committing, like, physics suicide here? And I was like, it's just not happening. It's not going well. I just don't know what to do. It's not clicking. I can't get these principles. It's just like, you know, just kind of let me go. So while that was happening, I had made some calls to Andrews, and I said, hey, how is this going to look? And they said, are you on semesters? I said, yeah, I'm on semesters. They're like, well, you know, we're on quarters. And at the time, they were on quarters, meaning how they set up their year. They said, you're going to lose a lot of credits. It's really going to set you back. I just don't think it's a good idea for you to transfer. Why don't you just kind of see how things go there, finish your degree, and then maybe we can talk or whatever. So I was like, this is going from bad to worse. Now I'm doing terrible on my physics, you know, studying for physics. Andrews is like, we got no home for you. So this has gone from bad to worse. Anyway, I go to take my physics exam. And, you take the exam, you find out what you get later, right? So I take my physics exam. I don't know. I think I motored away from that feeling like, you know, whatever. It was just kind of your typical physics exam. So while I'm at home in the intervening time, you know, in college, do you ever have that one roommate, you know, for the older folk maybe? You had that one roommate and you're just like, yeah, just don't get along with this guy. Just don't get along with this guy. Well, this guy that was my sort of nemesis in the house of seven or eight guys lived in the basement. And I was upstairs just kind of reeling from my physics exam, you know, the previous day or whatever. And I hear a knock on the door in the doorbell. And I think, I'm exhausted. I'm just mentally exhausted. And I think, I know it's not for me. And regardless, I just don't want to talk to anybody. It's not for me. Ding dong, knock, 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 repeatedly. I look out. It's a FedEx guy. And I think, oh, my goodness. I know I didn't order a package. You know, it's got to be for, I know it's for this guy. I just knew it, right? And I'm like, I know he's home. I want him to go get his package at the door. I was ticked. Well, anyway, he kept ringing the doorbell, whatever. I said, fine, I'll go down. So I go down to the door. Get the package. Who do you think it's for? It's for this guy. I was so mad. I was so mad, right? Well, the guy came to the door, the FedEx guy, was kind of one of these guys, like mustache, you know, business in the front, party in the back, mullet kind of guy. FedEx truck is blaring rock music. And I was just like, okay. He's like, hey, you need to sign right here. So I'm signing for the package. And he says, while I'm signing, he's like, kind of looks in, peers around or whatever. And he's like, so all you guys studying to be doctors and rock stars, huh? And I was like, whatever. I said, yeah, you know, sometimes I feel like it'd just be better to be a rock star. And he looks at me. I mean, in a moment that you can't explain, okay? You know what I'm saying? He looks at me, and he says, no, it would be better to be a doctor. I was like, okay. Here's this guy, like, clearly, like, you know, rock and roll type of guy from Detroit, which is, you know, known for Motown and rock and roll and stuff. And I was like, that is not what I was expecting to come out of this guy's mouth. And it was just a strange moment, you know, that just stuck with me. And so then, I put the package out, and it's time for me to go up to my breakout physics session, right? So I go to my breakout physics session, and as I'm on my way, guess what happens? Goosebumps up my spine. You know why? That was an angel. That was an angel from the Lord. He even used my bad attitude to speak to me. That was an angel from the Lord, because there's no reason that this guy would say it would be better to be a doctor. And why would he say, how do you even study to be a rock star, by the way? I don't even know. But, you know, that's what he said. I get goosebumps and I say, that was an angel. So I go to my physics discussion session. She hands out, the doctoral student hands out the exams. And I don't know, I got like 16 out of 20. Was my score or whatever. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? Because at the end, for those of you in college, at the end of the year, what happens? They curve it, this mysterious curve. Does anybody really understand that? I don't. But so that's what they usually say when students would say, hey, what did I get on the exam? Well, I don't know, I can't tell you. We have to curve it, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, this doctoral student goes up to the board and starts writing these spreads on the board. You know, 10 out of 20 is an F. 12 out of 20, D, C, B. What do you think 16 out of 20 was? It was an A. Oh, boy. Wow. And, you know, so I'm having this moment in front of all these college students where I'm like, I want to be like, the Lord is speaking to me. You guys see this? You know what happened? But, of course, they're just kind of going on with their everyday. And I was like, I couldn't wait to get out of there because I was just walking on air. The Lord was merciful to me at the last minute. Can you say amen?
Amen.
My point with this is that the Lord will speak to you, you know, even through a bad attitude. You know, if you're earnestly seeking him, he will guide your paths. So if you are at that age, that young age, and you're thinking, what can I do? That is an example that should encourage you. All right, let's keep moving here. So talking about, again, your path. Our first duty toward God and our fellow humans is that of self-development. Every faculty with which the Creator has endowed us should be cultivated to the what? To the highest degree of perfection, that we may be able to do the greatest amount of good of which we are capable. Anybody here like me quit your piano lessons when you were a kid? You weren't excellent? Now, guess what? All I wish I could do, play piano like my wife and my 7-year-old daughter, who's a better piano player than I am. Okay? Excellence in your chosen profession, excellence in study, excellence in life is living religion. Amen. In a knowledge of God, all true knowledge and real development have their source. Wherever we turn, in the physical, the mental, or the spiritual realm, in whatever we behold apart from the blight of sin, this knowledge is revealed. Whatever line of investigation we pursue with a sincere purpose to arrive at truth, we are brought in touch with the unseen, mighty intelligence. Powerful. The mind of man is brought into communion with what? The mind of God. Do you want the mind of Christ? Do you want the mind of God? The finite with the infinite. The effect of such communion on body and mind and soul is beyond estimate. You pray before you study, students. Pray before you go to work. Study a religious act. I want to give you, you know, and I did that, you know, all throughout medical school, praying every time I sat down to study. And it gives the Lord opportunity not only to get that knowledge in your mind, but to lead you and to guide you and to work with your mind. I'll give you an example of how you may stand out if this happens. I'm going to rush just a little bit through the rest of my presentation because I realize I'm running short on time, but I was sitting in a lecture hall at the University of Michigan in an intro, you know, it was a sort of a world religions class. And so, you know, it's 300, I don't know, 300, 400, I don't know, at the University of Michigan, it's just huge. And we had just read a book called Silence by a Japanese author with the last name of Endo. The book came out in 1966, and it was regarding a French priest. Has anybody read that book, by the way? I don't necessarily recommend you do, but it was just on my reading list at the University of Michigan. But it was an intriguing book. It was a French priest living in Japan, witnessing who was thrown into prison in Japan. Christians were persecuted at that time. He had the opportunity to be released from imprisonment if he would do two things. Number one, recant his beliefs. Number two, step on the picture of Christ. So a lot of the book is about, like, what should he do? Should he do that? Should he not? If he got out, if he just did it, you know, if he just did it, he'd get out. Nobody would necessarily need to know. He could continue to witness, you know, no big deal. His little secret, right? Plus, Jesus was used to being trampled on. It was his thought. Option number two, don't recant, don't step on the picture, and stay in prison. What good was he there, right? So the point of the crux of the book is the decision that he made eventually was to recant and step on the picture of Christ. Now, he was released. And a lot of the rest of the book, in my interpretation, was how he struggled with that decision. He really felt like he had forfeited, as we read before. Forfeited. So we get to the lecture hall, and the professor, you know, knowing that we had all read this book, says, how many think that the priest made the right decision? You know, he got out, he stepped, you know, he recanted, on blah, blah, blah. Guess how many hands went up? All of the hands went up. I did not raise my hand. I was kind of still thinking about the question, but I knew I didn't want to raise my hand there. Then he asked the opposite. How many of you think that he didn't do the right thing? He sold out his faith. I went like this. And I looked around. Guess how many other hands were up? I was the only one with my hand up. Friends, students, coworkers, you are going to find yourself in positions where you are going against the grain of the world. You are swimming upstream. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're treading water, but if you just go with the current, you will be swept downstream just like everybody else. Success in any line demands a definite aim. He who would achieve true success in life must keep steadily in view the aim worthy of his endeavor. Such an aim is set before the youth of today. The heaven-appointed purpose of giving the gospel to the world in this generation. Friends, do you believe Jesus is coming soon? Oh, I hope he comes soon. This is the noblest giving the gospel to the world in this generation is the noblest that can appeal to any human being. It opens a field of effort to everyone whose heart Christ has touched. A medical missionary using the right arm of the gospel, you can take the gospel to wherever you are, near and far, in your generation. Amen. Service is the principle. All things, both in heaven and in earth, declare that the great law of life is the law of service. The infinite Father ministers to the life of every living thing. Christ came to the earth as he that serves. The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. There are many out there to serve, aren't there? And we're indebted. To restore in man the image of his maker, to bring him back to the perfection in which he was created, to promote the development of body, mind, and soul, that the divine purpose in his creation might be realized. This was to be the work of redemption. This is the object of education, the great object of life in the book Education. Medical missionaries ministering to the body, the mind, and the soul, that great treasure of health. This can be done in infinite ways. I'll tell you some practical ways that I do this in my office, in my ministry. We have done CHIP programs, and this has been a great way to get people from my office really into the church, learning these principles, learning spiritual things. We have had a lot of spiritual interest from the ones that we've done. We haven't done them in the last couple of years before COVID, but I'm telling you, it's a great opening wedge. We've done 12 Days of Christmas, which is I've taken patients that have either lost family members or have had a particularly difficult bout with cancer, and what we've done is 12 days before Christmas, or 12 days in December, delivered something to them every night as a secret. Then we reveal ourselves to them on the 12th day. We carol to them. And I'm telling you, the testimonies from that have been incredible. My kids have made cards for me on holidays, and I take them with me when I round, and I give them to patients, and I say, here's a Christmas card that my daughter made. I'm telling you, I have had patients just bawl because I gave that to them. They mentioned it every day I came in and around. They didn't care how much they were hurting or the NG tube in their nose or whatever. They just say, oh, that card, you know, I keep it right here. It's next to the flower. I look at it all the time. It encourages me. Amazing. I pray with my patients as well. Usually if no other times, before surgery, and then in my office when I see them in follow-up. And I just had a patient that had was losing their small intestine because it was something was wrapped around it, was losing the blood supply. I took it out. In the office, I said, you know, the Lord healed you. He said, thank you so much, doctor. Thank you. You know, all your years of training, all that you've done, thank you for being at that moment in that spot. I say, praise the Lord, Bill. I said, praise the Lord. I said, the Lord really gives us healing. He said, thank you for that prayer. I meant to say something. And I said, let's have a prayer now. So we prayed. And then later, this announcement through their church came across my desk and said, you know, Dr. Waterbrook prayed for me, made all the difference. And I mean, he was weeping in my office. And I'm telling you, I just kept giving the glory to God. But that whole church, I kept getting texts from church members from this Baptist church saying, thanks for taking care of Bill. It was amazing. You know, all these things. Planting those seeds for the test, right? They know I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I hand out books to my post-op patients. I say, hey, I'm so thankful the Lord healed you. Here's a little bit of, you know, summer reading. Here's a little bit more reading. I put A Great Controversy, A Steps to Christ, some other pamphlets and leaflets. We've also done Dinner with a Doctor, and my wife has organized most of those. Most of you are familiar with those. We invite people from the community for those. Well, we've done Walk with a Doctor. So instead of just sitting around eating meals, I've done Walk with a Doctor. We meet at a certain point. We walk, and I answer. You know, usually we'll have a theme. It'll be a breast cancer theme or something, and we'll talk about breast cancer, the risk factors, and how do you treat it, and just some of the misconceptions. The other thing, too, is I try to utilize my Facebook page to be a blessing to people. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, is I'm involved with my local church. And so young people, never underestimate you getting involved in leadership in your local church. That is hugely important to learn those skills. So Jesus departed from there, meaning from Galilee. He skirted the Sea of Galilee and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, so that the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the walking, and seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. As a medical missionary, you are able to do these things. Amen? The mute speaking. Have you ever done speech pathology? The maimed made whole. Have you ever, you know, done an orthopedic, can you do an orthopedic surgery? The lame walking. Have you ever been a physical therapist? The blind seeing. Have you been an optometrist or an ophthalmologist? You can do these things. God may, you know, provide a miracle if you're not trained in those things, and that may happen. But you, as a medical missionary, are able to do these things. No scheme of business and plan or life can be sound or complete that embraces only the brief years in this present life and makes no provision for the unending future. Let those youth be taught to take eternity into their reckoning. Let them be taught to choose the principles and seek the possessions that are enduring, to lay up for themselves that treasure in the heavens. All who do this and are making the best possible preparation for the life in this world. No man can lay up treasure in heaven without finding his life on earth, thereby enriched and ennobled. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So my final slide here, you know, why would we want to do all of these things? Why do you care about the destination of your life, the path of your life? There are columns of angels on either side, and the ransomed of God walk in through the cherubim and the seraphim. Christ bids them welcome and puts upon them his benediction. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What is that joy? He sees the travail of his soul and is satisfied. This, my friends, is what we labor for. Are you a young person? Is your life elemental in chaos, maybe? God wants to make something very good of your life so that you can live a life that is enriched, ennobled, that is a satisfied life. And this is why we labor. So did we hit our objectives? Did we identify the problem in our world today? Let me hear you. Did we reveal the real goal of the medical missionary work? Did we realize our indebtedness? Did I help you discover the path God has for you? Did we focus on the great object of life? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the time that we had here together. It just warms my heart to think that these young people are seeking you. They're here. They're listening to this for a reason. They want to know more than will for their life. Father, we want to live lives that are of purpose. We want to live lives for eternity. We want to bless others, be able to act on the indebtedness that we have toward others, not out of a sense of guilt, but out of a sense of the great things that you have done in our lives, so that we can bless others and be there for others as people have been there for us in our lives. Father, we know that you will lead. We know that you will take the chaos in our lives, the elements in our lives, that you will inspire us to do great things for you. And that's my prayer for everyone listening today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message was recorded in partnership with Audioverse at the GYC conference Break Forth in Phoenix, Arizona. GYC, a supporting ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, seeks to challenge and inspire young people to take sacrificial initiative for Christ and to see Jesus finish the work in this generation. For other resources like this, visit us online at gycweb.org.